time again, time for the favorite podcast in the state of Alabama. Arkansas. It's the Showgram. Adam Alter here with Chris Bond. And Chris, I want to start with the most pressing question that's on everybody's mind. Are you ready for Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue this weekend?
Oh, I'm so glad there's a road game and I can get out of this town.
I hate Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, but we're not going to talk about that. Let's obviously talk about football. Jeff Long speaking this Wednesday, basically for the first time since before the Alabama game. Chris, you were over there. Give us a gist of what the AD said.
Well, a lot of people probably won't be happy with this part of it, but he said he's very committed to John L. Smith. That was his pick in April to keep the coaching staff in place. He signed all those guys to 10-month contracts as well as John L. Smith. Wanted stability for the program through the 2012 season, and he remains, as he put it, steadfastly committed to John L. Smith and the Arkansas football program in 2012. In the meantime, he hopes that people will reach out to him about the coaching vacancy because apparently he's not doing a lot of reaching out himself.
Now, that strikes me as odd, considering he is the athletic director of the University of Arkansas. Their current coach's contract runs out in a matter of months, and you're telling me he has not talked to anybody or done any legwork. Is that what I'm hearing?
He hasn't done zero legwork. He said that he's been investigating candidates, doing background checks, but in terms of any sort of actual communication with coaches or their representatives, he says this is an inappropriate time to do that because they're in the middle of the season. Arkansas is in the middle of its season. And, you know, I get it to a point, but all we heard in April with the hiring of John L. Smith and the timing of it was how great it was that Arkansas had a 9-month head start. And now we hear Jeff today say, well, it's a little bit of a curse to have a 9-month head start. It's a blessing and a curse because it gives you a whole lot of time to do background.
Wait a second. How is a head start in anything ever a curse? How is that ever a bad thing? Isn't that why it's called a head start? Innately, it's a good thing to have?
Right. It puts you ahead of the competition?
Correct.
Yes. If you and I were going to run a 40-yard dash...
Right. And you gave me 10 yards to begin with, that's called a head start, and that is a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah. You probably still beat me, but...
I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Let's not go into that territory.
That.
Yeah, no, we're not Rich Eisen.
No, here, I'll tell you the question. Paraphrasing the question, I'll give you the verbatim answer. Where are you in the search? You've had a long time to search. You've had since April. How's it going? Jeff says, I did say early, I think it's a blessing and a curse because you can really, you have a lot of time to spend on a lot of background. Well,
I still don't see how that's a curse.
And Jeff never said it was a blessing and a curse. He said from the beginning it was a head start,
right.
which is a good thing.
as we just so descriptively colored in. I'll tell you what is a curse, what's happening on the field. Now, yeah. Every week this job gets a little less prestigious, don't you think, or am I overreacting?
I think it's an overreaction on some level. I think coaches are going to look at the situation and see there's a challenge there because things did not hold together as well as what you thought they were going to. You're not stepping into currently a top 10 program. But I think if you look at what happened the previous couple years, the fact that Arkansas was in the top 10, they have 21 wins to show for it. I think you, as a head coach, would realize there's some promise there. I don't know that people are just immediately going to cross Arkansas off their wish list because Arkansas stinks right now. If this was a prolonged period of stinking, then yeah.
Okay.
I think it's still among the top 25 programs in the country, and I think it will attract coaches because of the financial commitment. And as it was put to me the other day, Arkansas has an AD who won't be a pain in the football coach's ass. That's what Pete Rosell from...
Language, Christopher.
Sorry.
Your mother listens to this show.
I'm quoting someone. I didn't say it. It's a quote from Pete Rosell of CoachingSearch.com. He said...
@$$.
He said there's money being spent, And the AD will not try to micromanage and get in the football coach's business, unless, I guess, of course, and I'm paraphrasing here. I'm going off script. This is not a direct quote. Unless he's, you know, riding around with his mistress that he just hired in the foot, you know, for the football program, then the AD is going to step in.
That usually doesn't work out too well. All right. Well, he's not going to be a pain in his coach's rear, but the current coach, you might say, is a pain in his rear. In addition to the three losses that have been very bad for Arkansas, there's the off-the-field matters with John L. Smith between his weird press conferences to, you know, full reports of his filing for bankruptcy and another report that he's got $800 to his name. He was asked some interesting questions as far as, he was asked very pointedly, is John L. embarrassing the university right now? And he basically said, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But is there any way we can say it's not embarrassing the program right now that John L. is acting?
No, you don't want your head – you want your head coach on ESPN. You want your head coach on MSNBC, not because he's saying ridiculous stuff, doesn't know what state he's in, which, by the way, ordinarily would have just been a misstep. It would have got a few mentions on Twitter. It wouldn't have blown up into a thing that everybody in the country is talking
about.
But
you can't do that. But – With the track record we've already had over the last few weeks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When you're making an impassioned plea to the state of Arkansas.
Don't give up on us, Alabama.
You can't. You cannot screw that up when all the other stuff was going on. And there are people that are ready. There were people wanting John L. to be fired. There are people that were like, oh my gosh, that's the final straw. You got to fire him. He misspoke. It was stupid. But back to the original point, yes, it's embarrassing the football program right now. It's not putting Arkansas in a very good light. But this all goes away in a few months once the new hire is made. And as long as that hire is not John L. Smith,
well,
I think people are going to come around on it and give Arkansas an opportunity to reclaim its position in favorable public spotlight.
We've exhausted the topic. John L.'s not getting fired. Jeff Long said it again today. We've discussed, you know, the innate difficulties of winning at Arkansas. Forget John L. John L. has a negative percent chance of continuing this in this position beyond the current contract. But for Jeff Long, this is a teetering point in his athletic director career. His position at Arkansas and everything that he ever wants to do, you know, here or beyond, is weighing on what he does in December.
Oh, without question. I mean, he has to make a great hire for Arkansas. It doesn't necessarily have to. I mean, look, he's not hiring John Gruden. I mean, that, and we've talked before.
What? What do you mean, Chris? He wore a red tie on Monday Night Football. That is code. He's coming to Arkansas. It's a handshake deal. It's already done. That's right.
And the suit was anthracite.
Oh my goodness.
So it's official. I mean, look, the names that keep getting thrown out there by people, Nick Saban's not coming here. Sorry. Chip Kelly's not coming here. But Jeff will make – I have confidence that Jeff has the – he has the things to sell to make a good hire. Now, it's entirely incumbent upon him to go out and make the hire. But you've got people outside the state of Arkansas saying they view this as a top 15 program nationally. You've got, as we've discussed before, top 15 money for assistants, top 10 money for the head coach. You've got the top 20, top 15 money for facilities.
The brand new one's already almost done.
So those are selling points. It's proven you can win in the SEC at Arkansas.
At a certain level.
That they were able to win 21 games in 2 years. So the idea that Arkansas is only capable of stringing together a bunch of 7-5, 9-4, or 9-3 Liberty Bowl, Cotton Bowl appearances, we know they can go to a BCS Bowl. So Jeff has all these things that he can sell to people, including Arkansas standing, as he mentioned today, in U.S. News and World Report as an up-and-coming academic institution. All that stuff can be sold to a head coach. Now it's up to Jeff. If he does not follow through on the promise that the program has and he makes a bad hire, yes, he is going to be in serious trouble with his job. Right now, he's got the chancellor in his corner. The board of trustees is anxiously awaiting his decision.
Very anxiously. The board is testy right now, as you might expect.
Well,
here, put yourself in Jeff's shoes. We're saying he needs to make a good hire. Obviously, whoever comes in and wins, that's the easy way of saying it was a good hire. He could hire somebody we've never heard of, and if they win 10 games next year, it was the best hire ever. What qualifications are you looking for to say Jeff won the press conference?
Well,
is an assistant coach, a coordinator somewhere, a Kirby Smart or a Dick Bumpus, is that a good hire, or does it have to be a sitting head coach?
I got the feeling in talking to Jeff today, his preference is an existing head coach. He in college, a college football coach, because he was asked.
What about Pete Carroll? Pete Carroll's going to give up $7 million a year to come to Fayetteville.
Of course he is. He was asked very specifically about NFL head coaches, NFL coordinators. He said he would consider it. He's not writing it off, but it would take a very special person to come in and run a college football program.
We've seen it many times. College guys going to the pros and pro guys going to college, and it does not work out. It's the exception, not the rule when it does.
They're just completely different. They're completely different sports.
And the athletes, I mean, you're dealing with students versus dealing with men who get paid a lot of money and don't want to take your lick. Very different games.
Yep. So I think the preference is an existing college head coach. I think next on the list would be a very well-established coordinator, a defensive or
enough?
Offensive coordinator.
Cut it right there. If it's a coordinator, is it a good hire?
I don't think that that's the best Arkansas could do as a coordinator for all the reasons that we've outlined on the show, Graham, before, for all the reasons I just outlined. I think there's a lot to sell here to an existing head coach who has shown promise at another school or who has performed well at another school. I mean, not every existing head coach is created the same, okay? And I'm just throwing two names out there. You know, what a Paul Rhodes has done at Iowa State, where no one has ever won before.
Including Auburn's coach, current coach, Gene Chizik.
That went on to win a national championship at Auburn.
Cam Newton won that championship. Go on.
And yeah. And he had a little help from his offensive coordinator, too. But that's neither here nor there.
Gustav?
Yes. 20 is a guy who went 21-20, you know, at Iowa State. How does that compare to a guy who's just above, you know, 600 lifetime win percentage at Houston and Baylor? Art Briles, for example.
Because
these are two names I think you'll hear, two names I've thrown out there as guys that will be considered for other openings, and maybe Jeff has an eye on them as well. So you have to, you know, there are different levels of head coach and how you measure success.
You absolutely have to look beyond the record.
Yes.
It's more than just a record. And that, I think that's what Jeff is probably doing right now. You said, you know, he hasn't spoken with candidates. Well, of course, how much can he really talk to a current football coach? Because you know what coaching is like. I mean, it's a 24/7 job. Even if he just touches base to say, "Hi, I'm Jeff Long," that's about as much conversation as you can have. But Paul Rhodes, since you threw that name out there, I guarantee you he's talking to people that have coached with him, people that have played under him, people that have been his bosses. You know, his agent, you know, getting as much background information as he can, because I feel like come December, once Jeff and whoever is in his inner circle identifies a top candidate, it's going to move pretty quick. I mean, we're talking less than a week probably from, "Hi, I'm Jeff, you want the job," to, "Hey, look, it's my new coach." So,
yeah,
there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, but the thing that complicates that is by not taking advantage in the way that I would think you could take advantage of the head start, you are now in the season where everyone needs a head coach that has fired a head coach. You now
are having... Right, but you can't control that. You just have to cross your fingers that Florida is not going to be open. I mean, I just picked a prestigious school. You know, more realistically, Texas. You know, Mac Brown's been on a bit of a hot seat lately. You know, Auburn, that's where John L. Smith thinks Bobby Petrino's going to go. So is Auburn's a better job than Arkansas? Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's what you're worried about. But whatever you do now, whatever you're doing in September to seek out your new head coach, you still cannot control if better jobs come open.
No, you can't control it, but you've had a lot of time to search. You've had a lot of time to talk to people. So as long as you've maximized that and can move relatively quickly, then I think you'll be okay. You know, Jeff made a point today. I thought this was interesting because it's so counter to the message he sent about Arkansas season. And in that one game or a couple of games don't define the program. But you can bet one game or a couple of games define the head coaching candidate. Because Jeff even said today, he was like, hey, a lot of things can change from week to week. So one guy maybe he has on his radar starts out 1-3 or 1-4, then that guy's probably not going to be as high on the list. So I don't mean to say Jeff isn't evaluating and isn't taking advantage of it. It was interesting to hear that there had not been a lot of conversation with people regarding the job.
I don't know what he's going to do. I really don't.
Well, nobody does because he's not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
And I asked him about that today. I said, what is your level of communication with the chancellor, the board of trustees, and the financial stakeholders? And I'm not talking about the guy and, you know, God bless you for giving $1,500 and buying seats in the nosebleeds, but I'm talking about the people who are really ponying up money for the football ops center that have made, you know, millions in lifetime donations. What's your level of conversation with them? And Jeff said, yeah, I talked to him. I was like, yeah. But about the football job and the progress. And he admitted he's not having a whole lot of conversations. He wants to keep it close to the vest. He thinks that's the best way to conduct the search so that, you know, a guy who he's interested in isn't getting his name put out there and jeopardizing his current job. So I understand that. I respect that approach. Although I think the financial stakeholders and the board probably would like, you know, periodic updates and that sort of thing.
I'm tired of talking about this already.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just – the thing is, though, until they put a good product on the field to distract away from the future, this is all people are going to want to talk about. When is John O going to be out of my face, and when is Jeff Long going to be in a press conference introducing the next head coach at the University of Arkansas? But let's hope, for hope's sake, that the Hogs can play better. You know, I'm tired of asking negative questions to the coaches and the players, and I guarantee you they're tired of hearing it. So we got A&M this week. That's who's on Arkansas' schedule. This does not shape up well for Arkansas based on recent history and the way A&M plays. Now, they're 3-0 against A&M since starting up this series again, but
right.
Those were better teams than this team, those better to Arkansas teams. And A&M has a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Folks may have heard about this once or twice. In the current era of Arkansas football, mobile quarterbacks have done a lot of damage. Excluding Colin Klein in the Cotton Bowl, but based on what's happening right now, we might as well throw that game out of Arkansas's history because nothing we saw in that game has been prophetic of anything. So how much damage is this Aggie QB going to do, Chris? Because I'm guessing a lot.
He has the potential to do a lot. Now, he's just a freshman, so he's young, and you would think that means he's mistake-prone. But he's not. So far, he's got 12 total touchdowns, not a single turnover.
Not one.
Nothing.
12 touchdowns, no turnovers. True freshman, retro freshman.
What I've got in front of me says freshman.
Okay.
I should know that.
Doesn't matter. First year playing college football.
Yeah.
On a real stage. And he's got a 12-0 touchdown interception ratio. Now, it's been a while since I've taken a math class, but I'm pretty sure you can't divide by zero. So what is his touchdown to turnover ratio? Infinite, basically? Johnny Manziel. That's a name you guys need to get ready to hear quite a bit on Saturday. Early kickoff. You know, I thought last week, Chris, and I may have said it on the show. I don't remember if I said it on the air or not. I expected Arkansas to come out and play well because I couldn't imagine a more desperate situation than what they were in, coming off arguably the two worst losses in program history.
Right.
You're getting your quarterback back. You're tired of hearing all the negative talk about your program. And yet they didn't come out and win. That can do one of two things. Motivate you further, even more of an animal backed into a corner, or it could break the team. Which do you think happened?
They're saying all the right things.
I don't care. Which do you think happened?
That's good. Look, I mean, we could beat up on them over and over and over. I'm going to focus on, for now, the things that I saw that gave me reason to think maybe they snap out of this. Quarterback was back. He performed well for the most part. He did have a couple critical interceptions.
Costly interceptions.
So, but right now I'm focusing on the positives. Quarterback's back. He's throwing the ball around. They lead the SEC in passing. Kobe Hamilton finally looked like the guy and beyond that we expected him to be.
I'm putting that on Rutgers because if you go back and watch that.
I'm not doing this right now. I'm telling you reasons that I think they can snap out of this.
All right.
They made moves defensively. They put Tank back where he belongs, a defensive end.
You know, he didn't play very many snaps against Rutgers. That was kind of weird. I kept watching him, seeing how much he was going to play. He didn't play a lot.
Again, we're not doing this.
I'm poking holes, buddy. I am poking holes. Keep going.
I mean, now you've just beaten me down. Now I'm just a beaten man.
Now you're Arkansas, and now I'm your opponent.
Yes, I'm a beaten man like Paul Petrino in the offensive press conference on Tuesday. He seemed so... I don't know if I should say defeated. He was subdued.
Deflated?
You know, the week before he came in talking about players willing to victory.
Up.
He was on fire. And yesterday it was just kind of like,
I think he knows his fate is sealed.
I mean, things have to get a lot better. So, but you have now convinced me that they'll never win another game ever. In the history of the program.
Well, they might beat Kentucky. I'm talking about this season. You know, they might beat Tulsa.
Yeah.
But that's not going to get you bowl eligible. Even if you just give them Tulsa as a victory.
Right.
You still have to go 4-4
in
the conference.
Does this team have 5 wins in them? 5 more wins. They got their 1 win against a Jacksonville State team that I think lost by 30 last weekend. So... If it's possible that your 1-3 record could look any worse,
hey, at least ULM is making that loss look better. I mean, I know they've lost the next 2 games, but they played 2 BCS opponents, real tough.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
coin
that makes
flip
it,
games.
I wouldn't say it makes it look better. The only way that loss looks better is if they win and if they come from 30 points down, if they were 30 point underdogs in those games and came back from 3 touchdown deficit to win.
See, now our roles are reversed. I went sunny side and you poked holes in it.
That's why we do what we do. That's why we're good on this together. That ULM loss does not look any better.
I think it looks better. I think ULM has proven that, you know, they're not going to win the BCS championship, but they're a pretty good team, and that Colton Browning is a pretty talented kid.
Colton Browning is incredible.
Yeah,
I flipped it on the other night, Friday. They were playing Baylor, and I watched.
Just making plays, man.
He and the Baylor quarterback both were just kind of making crap up as they went along.
It was
unbelievable to watch. A lot of fun.
Hey, if Arkansas hires Art Briles, they know he can beat ULM. There you go.
Boom. There you go.
Win. You won the press conference right there. You beat ULM. Well.
How about hiring Willie Taggart with his less than 500 record overall, but he comes and says, you know what?
He played Alabama closer.
Only lost to Alabama 35-0.
Yeah, that's Western Kentucky's coach.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, hire me. That's a step up, right? Arkansas over Western Kentucky? I mean, you'd probably take that promotion, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
This is so depressing. So, I don't know. Do they have 5 wins left in them? That's what we got to figure out. Do the changes on defense, some of the tweaks there. Does that make them any better? Does potentially at some point getting Tevin Mitchell back, does that make them stronger in the secondary in enough time to pull out some wins? And will they finally start handing the ball off to Dennis Johnson?
Which they say they will, but some of that's on Dennis.
Yes.
For two reasons. Because there are two main reasons why Dennis doesn't have more carries in his Arkansas career than he should have. One, fumbles. He has proven to put the ball on the ground with relative consistency, and of course you can't do that. Two, and you'll never hear the coaches say this, although they talk around it, and if you talk to people off the record, you get more poignant statements, his attitude. He's always in the doghouse, and the coaches just don't want to reward that behavior.
Right. And he's been in the doghouse, not just for the way he's approached practice, but even the way he's approached rehab. Yeah, the way that he performs in the training room, you know, has not always won him fans among the coaches. But they may be at a point in this season where you just got to get your best people on the field. He is your best running back right now. He seems to be able to overcome some of the deficiencies they have on the offensive line. So get him the ball. I expect, too, that we will see, and they had their most success doing this the other night, spreading it out, going four wide, one back, no huddle. That's where Tyler thrived.
Absolutely. Speed it up.
And Dennis is the guy who you can run draws with and you know, hit the outside. And Dennis is your guy. So I hope we see more of him not to reward bad behavior, but simply because I would like something more interesting to write about.
And here's the other thing I'd like to see the Arkansas offense do, which I don't expect them to do because they're stubborn and they like to stick to their laurels. Just at this point, throw out all the fullback formations. Having a fullback on the field without Kiaro Small, and you could even make the argument Cody Walker would make the difference, but not having either of those guys, you're wasting one of your 11 positions. I don't trust Morgan Linton to come in and bust through a hole. Like you said, spread it out, speed it up, ace, shotgun, you know, draws, delayed handoffs, screen passes. Get rid of the pro style. Play some college football right now because your best player is your quarterback. And the best way to facilitate through him is to speed it up and let him make plays.
I do not disagree with that at all.
Get rid of the fullback.
Yep. And you know, it's especially, I think, one of those things they need to think about doing more of now, too, because we don't know if they're going to have a tight end. You know, Chris Gregg, if he makes it back from the bone bruise, how effective is he going to be? And he's a guy you could throw out there in a, quote, four-receiver set.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got the speed to stretch the field, even as a tight end, even at his size. So you may be down without him. So just put
Losing him is critical. Yeah. I think he is critical to this offense because his speed at tight end severely alters what a defense can do. And you're seeing a lot of this in the NFL right now with fast athletic tight ends. Your Jimmy Grahams and your Rob Gronkowskis have changed the game lately because, you know, before these guys, or you want to go back to Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates, you know, before these guys, tight ends had a very limited repertoire of routes they could run, how deep down the field they could get. Well, you know, a lot of crossing patterns, a lot of hitches, a lot of drags. Well, if you have more speed, you can take that crossing pattern 5-10 yards deeper into the defense than they're used to seeing. It changes everything. So if they don't have Gregg this weekend, I think it really, really hurts the offense. Because not that Austin Tate can't catch the ball and make some plays, but when Chris Gregg would make a 15-yard play, Tate would make a 7-yard play. That's the difference.
He just doesn't have the speed. So the fact that they're even doing what they've done in the passing game without some of their weapons, with their quarterback being missing, you know, for a game and a half, is actually pretty remarkable. The rest of the offense, though, has stunk.
Don't expect Kobe Hamilton to ever do that again. Sorry, it's not going to happen again, and here's why. One, he's a senior.
Well, yeah, because it's happened once in the past 20
years. Okay, I'm not even saying 300 yards. Don't even expect 150 yards and 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns. One, because, boy, that draws attention when you go for 3-plus and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Two, go back and watch the Alabama game, because I paid close attention to this. They double-covered him all game. What do you have, like three catches for 10 yards or something? Very, very minimal. They had a cornerback on him, and they had Robert Lester, one of their premier D-backs, lined up 10 yards behind that cornerback every single play. I guarantee – I don't know why Rutgers didn't do this, and certainly I don't know why they didn't make adjustments, you know, at some point in the game. But if I'm playing Arkansas this season, I'm watching that Alabama tape, and I'm doing exactly what they did and say, until you can beat it. I'm not saying everything. I'm just saying as far as covering Kobe.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good, but Alabama approaches defense. Just because it works for Alabama doesn't mean it's going to work for Kentucky.
What, double coverage is not good? Yeah, you can beat it sometimes. You can beat it more against Kentucky than you can beat Alabama.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go off like you did against single coverage against Rutgers.
Right. Well, yeah, of course not.
So I'm just saying, don't expect – they got one of the all-time great receiving performances in NCAA history, and they still lost to Rutgers.
They squandered it.
Yes.
If you've already gotten on to me once for language, I would say they – blanked it away, but I won't say that because then I would get in trouble.
Is it that substance that John L. wants you to get hot?
That's the one.
Yeah.
They peed it away.
Well, you're in luck because I knew what you were talking about. See what I did there? My wife always says I'm corny. I'm leading myself into my main point.
You know, there's a point to this?
Oh, there's – yeah, I know. I get rambling. I'm a rambling man here. Allman Brothers. Here we go. We started this conversation talking about, are they going to get bowl eligible? I will not say they're going to get bowl eligible, and I will not believe they're going to get bowl eligible until I see significant improvement on defense. The only way they're going to beat anybody right now is to outscore them, and it's real hard to outscore anybody when you're giving up 500-plus yards a game.
Well, and it's also hard to outscore people when you're squandering four of your red zone possessions.
Yes.
And coming away with
3 points and
interceptions,
four red
and dropped passes and whatnot.
And a fourth down stuff.
Yeah. So, but the greater point is true. Yes, they need a lot more out of this defense. And I just
don't know that they have it in them. I mean, even if Nick Saban was drawing up the schemes and calling the plays right now, I don't know that they have – you know, they say it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmys and the Joes. I don't know that they've got James or Josephs that can get it done.
No.
That's the cold, hard truth.
Yeah. You know, the defensive line is okay. Part of the reason –
is it?
Yeah.
People are running on them. I mean, Rutgers still got 100-plus out of John Jameson.
You know, Gary Nova – the Rutgers quarterback went for 288 passing yards against Howard and Tulane, and then he came out and did what he did to Arkansas.
397.
That is an abomination unto the Lord.
The secondary is atrocious. You know, I was talking with a former player last week who said flat out to me, you will not win in the SEC running a 4-2-5 defense. And that's what they're running. They can call it 4-3 all they want. They got three safeties on the field. It's a 4-2-5. Yeah. He just said it won't happen. He knows more than I do. He played the game. He played in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see how that's going to work. And I'm just dumbfounded still at what they were doing with their recruiting for the last 4 years. It's just amazing to me. They have, you know, they got 15 wide receivers and 12 tight ends.
And they have no linebackers and no cornerbacks. Oh, they have Tevin Mitchell, who's hurt.
And they got Alonzo Highsmith.
Yeah.
And then they have a couple hybrid safety linebackers.
Look, I think Ross Rassner is a great player. I think he's a good, solid college player. But he's not the answer. And boy, go back and watch the Rutgers tape. They picked on him in pass coverage over and over and over.
No, there's not anybody they didn't pick on in pass coverage.
I'm telling you, they threw to Rassner's guy more than anybody.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying. There was it was not pretty. We've talked about this way too long.
I'm getting depressed. Let's get on the spot.
On the spot?
Yeah, it's your turn.
All right. I'm curious, what celebrity do you want to meet?
In what way? Like some like hot girl I could take on a date, or like, I mean, somebody I want to have lunch with and pick their brain?
I mean, of course you would take it to that level. I would just say, just a celebrity you would like to have lunch with. How about that, pervert?
You're always picking on me. Can I give more than one answer?
Yeah, do whatever you want.
I want to give you two answers.
Okay.
One would be Dan Patrick.
Okay.
He's a guy I really look up to in this business, a guy, you know, I think does a tremendous job and is kind of one of my, I guess, idols, or you would call it, within the journalism business. And I think his radio show is great. I think he'd be a fascinating person to just chat with and pick his brain. The other person, and this might be a little more random, but it's going to lead into my homework assignment for the folks tonight, is Trey Parker. You know who that is?
Yeah, South Park.
One of the co-creators. He's the real brain trust behind South Park, which I think is one of the smartest television shows in the history of television. But he's so much more talented than that. You know, he writes all the music that they do. You know, the South Park movie was a musical. Mm-hmm. They made the Book of Mormon, which cleaned up at the Tonys as a musical. He is extremely talented. And, you know, when South Park first started, it was just kind of – it was still funny, but it evolved once they got, you know, 5-6 seasons in, became very much social commentary and very topical. And I find that almost 100% of the time when they come to their point, you know, because these episodes are crazy things happen, but when they get to the end and they make their point, I find that I agree with him almost 100% of the time.
Interesting. I have not, you know, I watched that show in college a lot and right out of college, and then I haven't watched it in years, but I caught an episode last year or the year before they did on the NCAA.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And
that was yeah, that was recent.
That was fantastic, and I bet you can find it online somewhere.
You can actually watch every single episode of South Park online for free. SouthParkStudios.com.
There you go. So I would encourage people to go watch the NCAA one. It's, of course, it's off the wall, and there are some raunchy moments and really uncomfortable moments, but it makes a really great point about amateur athletics and, you know, really what a sham it really is at the end of the day.
They did an episode a few years before that. You remember during the Terri Schiavo thing was going on? It was all in the news about, yeah, you know, she's in a coma or whatever and pull the plug or not. They did an episode commentary on that. It actually won a Peabody.
Huh.
I mean, that's a, if you don't know what a Peabody Award is, it's about as prestigious as it gets in the world of media and journalism. It's pretty poignant. Pretty poignant.
Wow. Look at the depth there. You're going to go with some social commentary.
South Park's a great show. Trey Parker's a fascinating person. What's your answer to that question?
You know, this is – there's – I'm not a big celebrity guy. If I see someone eating dinner in a restaurant, I don't need to have my picture made with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I get
it.
I don't want to be that guy either.
I quit collecting autographs when I was about 12. So, I mean, I don't really get – excited about celebrities the way that a lot of people do, and that's cool if you do.
Quit qualifying it and answer the question.
But there's one guy who I have always been fascinated by and looked up to an extent, and the way he has sometimes poorly, but for the most part, the way he's represented the state of Arkansas. He's from Arkansas. He's an Arkansan, and I'm the only person from this state who has never met Bill Clinton.
I've never met Bill Clinton.
But you're not from Arkansas.
Not originally, no.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, everyone in Arkansas, my parents have had breakfast with him and my...
What?
Know, yeah. My sisters, you know, talk to him. Everyone I know has met Bill Clinton but me. Everyone I know that's a native Arkansan. And, you know, for the guy to be from the state, his story coming up from a really rough upbringing, becoming governor, becoming president, and he's still a very passionate sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this today.
I saw some tweets about it. I didn't click on the story.
Clinton was on MSNBC earlier this week on one of their morning programs, and the host, who's a University of Alabama grad, started the interview asking him...
Twisting the knife.
Asking him what's up with the Arkansas football program. And Clinton, who of course was a huge Razorback fan, went to the games when he was in the Oval Office, you know, basically said they've got a problem with the offensive and defensive lines. But it's just funny that the guy, I mean, he's got this Clinton Global Initiative where he's out trying to save the world and identifying the world's biggest problems and working to solve them. And he's still very much an Arkansan and an Arkansas fan at heart. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I'm just, for whatever reason, I've never met the guy. And I think he would be great to sit down and have lunch with.
That's a fantastic answer. I totally agree with everything you just said. Bill Clinton is one of the more interesting and incredible people in my lifetime that I've ever seen. He was a very successful president. To this day, he is very active, you know, in politics. You know, he gave that speech at the Democratic National Convention the other day, which, you know, everyone gave rave reviews. And it's interesting because Arkansas and you know, we don't usually talk about politics, and it's kind of a taboo subject for public radio and stuff, but this is kind of a red state, but he's a Democrat, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. You go around the state and you meet people that are as conservative as can be or whatever. Everybody loves Clinton. Everybody loves Clinton, for the most part.
There are a lot of people that love him, and the fascinating thing about him is he does not forget people and names. And of course, politicians will go and make public appearances, and they have people that prep them before they go in.
Right.
You know, such and such city councilman's here, so and so from the Board of Trustees is here, this, that, and the other. He has that, but for the most part, he has almost total recall of people that he meets. It's remarkable. So I wish I had that. I can't. I'm not even sure what your name is.
Yeah, well.
Half the time.
I'm pretty forgettable. Clinton was on The Daily Show last week. He was great.
Yeah. What state are we in?
Right now? Yeah. I think we're in Alabama.
Alabama.
John Stewart's another guy I'd like to have lunch with.
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool guy. All right, that's on the spot. Let's keep it shorter this week, Chris, because there's just too much depressing to talk about, and I'm bumming myself out here. So let's get to the wrap-up.
Okay.
Let's give the folks some homework.
All right. Here's what I want you to do, people of the world.
The whole world? You think people like across the globe are listening to this right now?
I think so.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be.
I don't think that's happening.
I'm not even sure that people really are listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I want people to do to kind of tie this all together. I know usually we do pop culture references or, you know, movies, whatever. This is what I want people to do. Before the season, I believe back in April, the Sporting News put together a list where they ranked all 120-plus football coaches at the FBS level.
Ranked them?
Ranked them.
Based on everything?
Success. I mean, Nick Saban was number one. You know.
John Hard to argue with that.
John L. Smith at the time, I think, was 74. But that's not why I want
what
you
would
to...
he be now?
It'd be low. That's not why I want people to look at the list, though. What I want you to do, and I'm going to put it out on Twitter later today, I want people to go through that list, and I want you to give me 5 to 10. No, we'll forget that. I want you to give me 3 to 5 realistic names off that list that you think Arkansas should consider. And I'm talking realistic.
Chip Kelly is not realistic. I about fell out of my chair when I saw that on a message board the other day. You think Chip Kelly will come? No. Continue.
Nick Saban's not coming. Bill Snyder, who, quite honestly, at Kansas State, may be the second best coach in America. He's 100 years old. He ain't coming. You know, on and on. But look at it. Try to look at it and give me some legitimate names for candidates. We put up a list on Arkansas Sports 360 earlier this week of guys who will be in the mix, not necessarily for Arkansas, but for bigger head coaching jobs this year. So I'd be curious to see other people's lists. That's what I want from the people.
That's good homework. That's good homework. I'm sticking with the pop culture. The new season of South Park starts tonight, 9 o'clock Central. If you don't know a whole lot about South Park as far as how they make the show, they make it a week at a time. They're signed up for a season. They don't know what they're doing next week. Next week's show, they'll start production on tomorrow. That's crazy. Now, what that does is not every show is fantastic. You know, they're not exactly consistent. But what South Park does better than anybody is when they hit a home run, it's a 550-foot bomb. I mean, when they hit their mark, it's as good or better than any sitcom on television. Watch South Park. Go back and watch it online, southparkstudios.com. If you don't need to start from the beginning. The first three, four seasons are pretty childish, and it's a lot of potty humor. I mean, it's funny if you want to watch it. They're still funny. But starting at about, I think, season five and from then on, this is like the 12th or 13th season. They get real topical, you know, very social commentary. Good, good stuff. All right, Chris, parting thoughts.
I don't have any parting thoughts. I got nothing.
Try not to cry yourself to sleep if Arkansas loses again this weekend, because I think it's going to happen. I think A&M's going to win, and this season will continue to spiral downward.
What a terrible note to end the show on. That's terrible. Everybody go Google, go to YouTube and find Grooves in the Heart by D-Lite.
Grooves in the Heart.
And that will put you in a better mood.
Or the Beach Boys. All right, for Chris and Adam, it's a show, Graham. Goodbye.